Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio, the show's Melissa Cantrella, and today's guest is Drew Morgan, and he is with the television series The Adventures of Roman and George, and he plays George, and we'll be talking to him a little bit, but first, gotta take a break. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
There are a number of ways to provide a pleasant aroma in a room. We use aromatic sprays, scented candles, and various fragrance enhancers. Well, have you ever been in a room where incense was burning? The sweet smell of incense permeates everywhere. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. One of the treasures the wise men brought to Jesus was the gift of frankincense. In Matthew 2:11 we read, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." As the wise men fell down and worshiped Jesus, they brought gifts that represented the major elements of worship in the Old Testament. In Exodus 31:11, after describing the structural element of gold in the tabernacle, two other elements are given prominence, the anointing oil and the sweet incense. Now, the major ingredient of sweet incense was frankincense. The Hebrew word for frankincense is the word levonah, which comes from the word for white, levon. It is named from its appearance as the whitest of the gum resins used for incense and was specifically known for its sweet aroma. Frankincense was a major element of Israel's worship and was used in a number of ways. It was included in the meal offering to make it a sweet-smelling savor unto God. It was sprinkled over the top of the showbread in the holy place, and its major use was that it was the incense burned on the altar of incense. In other words, when you walked into the holy place of the tabernacle, the entire room was filled with the sweet odor of frankincense. Now, everything in the holy place is symbolic of some aspect of Christ, and the frankincense speaks of his sweetness. Have you discovered the sweetness of Christ? He is our frankincense. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, when the odors of life are pungent and acrid and musty and foul, it's encouraging to reflect on the sweetness of Christ.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. What do you think about when you ponder the possibility of trials in your future? Are you fearful, or do you actually look forward to them? Well, it's easy to react with fear and disappointment when you aren't prepared for the possibility of difficulties, but Proverbs 29:25 offers an antidote. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted or lifted up." You see, Jesus says that if the Father cares for small birds and numbers each of the hairs on your head, he is certainly concerned about your physical and spiritual well-being. No matter how bad your trial may seem, God will sustain you. And when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful," how can any of you who profess Jesus Christ let fear control you? So don't let it be a portrait of sustaining grace instead.
Truth Be Told Radio is a radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. Truth Be Told Radio features street preaching, witnessing, special guests, apologetics, sermons, Bible trivia, interesting tidbits, contests, plus more. Truth Be Told Radio uses a unique and interactive forum with its own live chat room, where you can chat live with the hosts, guests, and other listeners of the show. Listeners can also call in to talk to the hosts or listen live to the broadcast via phone. Truth Be Told Radio airs on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Truth Be Told Radio is seeking Christian businesses and Christian ministries who produce Christian books and merchandise. We are seeking to make live on-air product and book reviews. It can be anything from a book to a game with a Christian or biblical theme. If you're interested in having your book or product reviewed on our show, please email us via our website at truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Do you dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out wretchedharmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellas and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, wretchedharmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
I know it would be good for me to read the Bible, but it would be so much easier to take a spiritual pill once a day and get it over with.
Just know that God will never force you to live a spiritual life. It's your choice. Galatians 5:22 tells us that self-discipline is a manifestation of God's Spirit at work in us, and that the Spirit of God, through His Word, prompts us, moves us, and convicts us. But amazingly, it never forces us to live a godly life. Instead, God gently leads us as we read and study, pray, and desire to apply God's Word to every area of life. And that means actually reading the Word of God. No pill you can take will ever do that for you. 1 Corinthians 15:57 is our encouragement. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening now. Truth Be Told Radio, and this show's most controller. And today's guest is Drew Morgan from different, I call it the evangelistic comedy. It's from a television show called The Adventures of Roman and George. And he plays the character called George of Roman and George. And I'm going to talk to him a little bit. And right now I'm getting ready to play you a clip. It's kind of like it's a trailer, so for, of course you can't see the video. You'll hear the audio. And I'm going to play that and see if it's ready, because I just was uploading it. Was going to do it before, but I didn't do it yet. Let's see if it's there. Okay. I guess we'll just I think we have Drew on the line right now and offering him on. Let's see if this is Drew. Hello?
Hey, this is Drew. Am I on the right line?
You're cool. Live on the air, Truth Be Told Radio. Welcome you. Thank you for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I saw a post you said earlier on Facebook, and I was like, what? It said something about me and somebody. I was like, oh no, did he forget the show or something?
I just live minute to minute, you know. But I can always be found on Facebook. So.
Those posts.
You're like, are you calling in? Absolutely.
From the Blackberry. It has that little logo from the Blackberry. Let you know that you did that.
Yeah, we finished church, and we're just, Sunday's a family day. We're out getting coffee, walking around, and so it's a nice time to, if you hear street noises, everybody else has walked into a store, and I get some time here to talk on the phone. So if you can put up with the background noise, it should work.
Yeah, that ain't bad. I've done shows myself when I was at other places, like, and there was noise in the background, so so you're allowed to. I have a clip, like I said, the trailer. I'm gonna play this, and this is the one I think Greg made himself, Greg Elsasser, and I'm gonna play this right now.
How was your conference?
You know what, it was really good. You should sign up.
Yeah, not really my thing.
What is it, conferences?
No, evangelism.
You've been doing a lot of this evangelism type stuff the last couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, that conference you had here just really lit a fire under me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Roman, and I'm with my friend George here.
I had extra egg salad, so I made you and Roman a sandwich.
Put light mayo on this time? I'm not 25 anymore, you know.
George, have you ever really stopped to think about what happens to a person if they die in their sins?
Die in their sins? Dude, what kind of conference did you go to?
Over here at work, let's just stop talking about our church and hell and people being left behind, okay?
Wait, maybe we should go.
But then they'll know we're home.
Dad, I'm really hungry.
Here. You know, part of being an evangelist is actually giving someone the gospel, right?
George tends to get very involved in a new hobby right from the start.
You've been giving the gospel to a fake family on your computer?
It's been going good.
Hey, Dad, can Mom get up and get me a soda?
Here, watch me do it. What is this? It's a $1,000 bill, you know, to track.
A Jesus message?
All right, you're doing the next one. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone someday, right? Get up there. You can do this. The worst that's going to happen is someone heckles you a bit.
Tread lightly on this. This isn't the most comfortable thing for most church folks. You've already raised a few eyebrows.
You know what? That is fun.
Now you see what I'm talking about.
We'd like to see if somebody would be willing to come up to the box here and answer a few simple questions.
Thank you.
Now you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's funny. One of my favorite parts is they can't see it on there, so if you want to see you could check it out. I think there's probably lastwordministry.com.
Yeah, you can go to romanandgeorge.com, J-O-R-G-E.com.
Yeah, okay, you can go straight that too.
Yeah.
And
trailer's up there.
It's funny because one of my favorite parts is the part is it's supposed to be the Jehovah's come to the door, and then like they're you can't see it on there, but they're all like getting on the ground. She's like, the witnesses get on the ground. And then Greg said that I had him on before. He said that was kind of based on something that happened to him.
Yeah.
They're hiding out.
Well, they come to my house where we just moved, and we have a table set up out on the porch. Molly was like, oh, here they are. Hold on, Drew, come sit. She'll get everybody water or coffee. And I'm like, all right, where do you want to start? And they don't come to my house anymore. They've given up on me.
That's funny.
I asked a friend of mine, why am I on the blacklist or what? Why won't they come talk to me? He says, they were a little offended at you. They didn't like the part where you said that their works weren't pleasing to God. So they...
You've been told to stay away from me. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to see if my... I have a coach. I don't know if you heard him. His name is Guy Reynolds, and he's a... he goes by General Wretch, and we go in the Wretched Radio chat room, and here he goes by General Wretch, too. And let me see if he's in there. And he hasn't caught up yet. Well... I think I'll start out, I think Greg told me before how the idea started for the Wretched Room with George, but maybe you could give us a refresher.
Sure. I mean, it's all fiction in the sense that it's a sitcom format with a comedy and everything put in it, but like all writing, it's based on real life experiences, and anybody who's done any street evangelism watches it just can see themselves or especially if people in our group, they can see, oh, I was there when that happened. Oh yeah, I remember that exact thing. And so it's just kind of stringing together all the funny things that happen when you decide to go into evangelism, get off the pew and to get out and actually go share your faith. As you can imagine, things go crazy, and it just made for great humor. And Greg is a skilled writer. Greg, I mean, we lived what happened in the show, but Greg Elsesser is the one that's skilled enough to write it into a story format, so it follows a pace and keeps going. But at no point is it, I would say, irreverent. I mean, it certainly is funny. But we're kind of laughing at ourselves and a lot of, oh my goodness, I remember when that happened. Oh, I can't believe it. That was so crazy that day that happened. And, and in the middle of all that, in the middle of the show, wound throughout, before you know it, you've just heard the gospel, So someone who gets to watch this show, thinking they're just going to get a sitcom, is actually going to hear the biblical gospel presented. They're going to see examples of it from people trying and failing, and they're going to see examples that work, and they're going to have a straightforward presentation at the end. But the best part about it is, God's word is able to show through that. And where maybe someone looking for just a straight religious program, someone standing at a pulpit and giving a message, unless you're a believer already, you're not really going to sit still for that. So I think it's a great way that Greg came up with to put together the gospel in a format that you might actually have your friends and family watch. And I think he did a great job.
Yeah, I think too. I think it, like, fiction just has that tool of, like, it's not directly like pointing a finger, it's like indirectly, like you get to know the story and the people. And I think it really is pretty good. Like, it's funny. Like, I think sometimes, like, some Christian things are, like, way too cheesy. Like, they're trying hard or something. And
yeah,
had a little time bit of that, but I think it's still, like, good. Like you said, the good writing things, like, even that, like, the whole witnesses, even though I haven't, like, laid on the ground, like, I could identify with that because I should be prepared, but I'm not really that prepared if someone came to my door.
Right, right. And we can see that, hey, these are the mistakes that, you know, I wouldn't put myself or our group up there with the true greats, you know, because I, you know, we're just Christians trying to be faithful. But when you look at people, everybody's got someone they look up to and go, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never do what a Ray Comfort does. Or I could never do what a John MacArthur does. I could never, you know, there's always somebody, everybody at Living Waters, you just admire them so much for just their skill. And it, and you feel, I feel, and I've heard others say it too, that I couldn't do that. I can't do it as well as they can. So I think what we're showing, I know what we're showing, and at least part of it, is even the people that you look up to made mistakes, had foibles, had just bumbled and stepped all over their words, and bad things happened and just kept going. So if anything, I hope that's an encouragement to show that you don't just wake up one day and boom, you're a professional street evangelist. You know, you're just faithful and you go through the things. Like anything good and worthwhile, the only people that are good at it are those that are just continue to do it every day.
And, yeah, and it's funny because, like, yeah, I actually have heard, like people like Ray Comfort seen things where he messed up, because they have, like, show, like, things where he messed up, like, you know, kind of outtakes and things like that. And but a lot of times, yeah, we do see more of the polished versions of things. That's just because the people have done their job so well, like editing and things like that.
Right. Yeah. You cut it down. I mean, someone told me as a photographer, the difference between a professional and an amateur is a professional only shows you the good shots.
Yeah.
An amateur lets you,
like,
sit down and look at the whole roll. Yeah. We all take bad pictures, but, you know, the professional is only going to show you the one out of the 50 that came out good. So if we understand that,
yeah,
don't be afraid of the other 49. Just get out there and do it. And if we ultimately believe that it's not our efforts, it's not our eloquence, it's not our skill at comedy writing that's going to convert people, it's God himself, you know, it takes the pressure off you. My goal as an evangelist is not to convert, because I know I can't. My goal is to share the gospel, and if you do that, you're successful every time. And you can have people that will say straight to your face, I don't believe you, this is hogwash, I mean, it's ridiculous. You don't know what's going on in their heart. They can be going home going, wow, the reason I was so upset was that message really got to me. I need to look into this more, or I need to repent. And I don't look for the rewards of having someone come back to me and say, wow, you were so great the other day. You really gave me the message, and now I'm going to be a Christian because of you. It just doesn't happen. But
yeah,
I do know.
Yeah, because then you would get the credit to God.
Right, right.
And then also,
everyone as a Christian has said, like, you know, I heard it for years. I heard this, I heard that. And one day something just happened in me. You know, so you never know when God's going to do that for somebody.
I see Ray Comfort says there's a saying that he said, the dog that yelps the loudest or something like that got hit the hardest.
Right. When you throw a stone into a pack of wolves, the one that yells is the one that got hit. You know.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You learn as an evangelist to be okay with people getting upset at the message. Because, you know, it's a spiritual battle we're fighting. I'm not upset at the person. And I understand that before I was converted, I was a God hater. You know, I was someone who, yeah. And I'd rather have someone get upset at the real gospel, at a true, clear presentation of what the message is, and decide to ignore it or rebel against it, rather than someone who hears a false gospel and likes it. You know, you haven't done anybody any good by tickling their ears and soothing and giving a sweet, you know, positive thinking message that you could hear in any self-help group. And people go, oh, that's great, you know. It doesn't matter if they accept that or believe that. You really haven't done anybody any good. And at least if they hear the real gospel, even if they're upset at it first, God's able to use that. God can convert them. And, you know, it says they will be upset. You know, the Bible says it's life to those who are saved, but death to those who are perishing. It's a very offensive message telling someone that they're a sinner. And half the art of an evangelist is to try to help people understand that without pointing our fingers, to make it very clear that we're not calling you a sinner. We're not telling you because of our own standards we think you are. We're helping you understand that because of God's standards, he says you are, just like he says we are. You know, and that's where I think that the art of the evangelist comes to help share the message and not add to the offense. But at its core, you know, it's very offensive. And I think, that's why we chose the comedy route, you know, to really not soften it in the sense that to change the message so people like it more, but soften it in the sense that to just say, hey, listen, we're just a couple of fun-loving guys who care about you, and here's a way we can do our best to try to share the message with you. And entertainment comes second, but sharing the gospel is first, and also showing other Christians is a great purpose of the ministry as well, showing other Christians that, hey, you can share it with people. You can approach somebody and help them understand the biblical message of grace without you adding to the offense. And, you know, almost as many times as not, I have people say, hey, thanks for sharing that with me. Thanks for putting yourself out there and really, you know, talking to me about this stuff.
So, I think always, like, no matter what, like, if, like, either evangelism or maybe I didn't do something, I always think of Romans 8:28, the one about talk about God's good, do right thing for those that love him, that, you know, gonna work it out, basically gonna make it good. And also, I was just thinking, like, a lot of times, there's times that where I get, like, I have gotten, unfriended from Facebook, and because I was, like, I mean, I hope I wasn't being, like you said, more offensive, but, like, I believe I was trying to just talk the truth. And one guy, he gave me, like, the courtesy, though, of actually writing that letter out and thinking about it. But he still called me, like, intolerant. And because, you know, well, this was, like, I was saying something about, like, homosexuality, that God said it's wrong. And then, like, a lot of times they'll just think, like, that you're intolerant or arrogant, and they're like, no, this is the truth. I'm not trying to be like that.
I've been dealing with this a lot lately, especially on Facebook. The cry of intolerance is, you know, it's like calling racism. I mean, there's not much you can
judgment.
Do after that. And people are, they, as soon as they call intolerance, they think they've won, because that's pretty much all they get to. And the irony of it is they're the ones that are intolerant. They're the ones telling you not to say what you believe, that your message is so offensive that you can't talk about that. And you must stop, or I will judge you as being intolerant.
They tell you not to judge often.
and that's exactly what they're doing. And I try to always make it clear that I do appreciate other people's opinions. And I think I'm up to 1,200 friends on Facebook, and trust me, not all of them agree with me, you know. But I always try to respect their beliefs, even though I disagree with them. But it's okay to have a disagreement. It's okay to have a different belief. And in fact, I'd prefer somebody who does believe what they say, or at least is honest enough to admit it, because everybody believes what they say. But, you know, they'll decry, oh, you guys think you're right. Okay, so do you. Like, is that a problem? Because you think you're right, and I'm okay
yeah.
with that. I mean, of course you think you're right. Why would you say something you think is wrong? And so trying to help people at least, I might debate or argue the content of your message, but I'm not merely going to fault you for having a message or having a belief. And I think too many times people are afraid to admit that they have a belief, even though we all do.
And there's this thing, I think they call it the dialectic process. You probably don't know, but it's supposed to be saying basically that when like our society has been brought to saying, like, showing, like, their feelings and, like, I want this, I feel that, and it's gotten so bad that if anybody's feelings are hurt, they don't want to, like, deal with you. They don't, like, to me, like, if they were a true friend, like, whoever, like, unfriends me, like, if they're a true friend in the first place, they wouldn't just give up on me like that. They would have sticked with me anyways. And it seems
right.
like people get their feelings, once they get their feelings hurt, it's just like, okay, that's it. Forget you. That's it. I don't want to be with you. You hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
You're gone. And that's what
they can't stand the truth of the gospel. No matter how much their friend you are, you know, they talk about friendship evangelism. And
yeah.
you know, we work a lot against that concept in Roman and George. The idea that you can, and it almost seems deceptive in the sense that you can befriend somebody with the intention of sneaking the gospel in later when you think they're ready for it. So you're not really their friend. You're just pretending to be their friend, trying to build this fake relationship. So one day you can sneak the message in on like kind of a bait and switch. And I'll tell you that I've been friends with people for my 42. I've been friends with people my whole life. I've been certainly since my early 20s. Let's say I've been friends with somebody for 20 years. And 20 years ago, I was not saved. And there was no surreptitious goal of sneaking anything in. I was genuinely people's friend because I was their friend. No other ulterior motive. So 20 years later, I've been friends with them for 20 years, completely honest, completely their friend, and I've come to a saving faith in Christ, and I decide to share that with somebody in the least offensive way I can. And they get offended. They immediately are not my friend, drop me, and pull it out like I've said the most offensive thing in the world to them. So I'm not sure how much more friendship evangelism you could get than to genuinely be someone's friend for 20 years. What makes you think that you could befriend somebody in a month, kind of maybe invite them to an event? The second you give that message, the second you truly give it, not a watered-down kind of a positive thinking message, but the second you truly give the real gospel, you've drawn the line. They're either going to accept it or they're going to reject you, you know, and you'll really see who your friends are. You'll see that, wait a minute, not only do they hate the message, they hate you for bringing it. And at a certain point, you got to get to the place where you say, listen, am I more interested in pleasing men, pleasing mankind, men and women, or more interested in pleasing God in heaven? And if I truly care about these people, and I'm not trying to just put notches on my belt. If I truly care about somebody, giving them the gospel message is much more important than having another couple years hanging out with them at the mall. You know, you've got to draw that line and say, I care about you enough to say, listen, even if it kills our friendship, I've got to share this with you. I don't want to lose our friendship. In fact, the only reason I'm sharing it with you is because I am your friend. But people are very, very offended. And we get backed into a corner trying to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Oh, well, let me change it. Let me water it down. Let me just stop mentioning it because we're more interested in keeping them as a friend. We don't want to offend anybody. And what we do is we end up befriending them straight into hell.
Yeah, you know, I've done that. I find that at least one person the people who actually get mad too are people that claim to be a Christian themselves, and then you're like well, you say you're Christian, but then you can't hear a simple truth. If you're really Christian, then you should be able to hear the gospel and not be mad about it. You should be able to be like, oh yeah, thanks for reminding me or something. Like I try to say the iron sharpening iron, and often it's sometimes opposite, and it's just, I don't know, it's funny.
They
the
get
way,
just
like,
as offended as an unbeliever.
Yeah, you know, that's
shocking
funny.
That people who call themselves Christians don't want to hear about the Bible, don't want to hear the gospel, don't want to talk about it, you know. I've got family who's Catholic, and we talk about stuff, and I talk about them. They always want to disagree with me. I'm like, well, I'm not even coming up with a controversial argument here. I'm trying to pick items that we'd probably agree on, considering you call yourself Catholic.
Yeah.
And I go, we don't believe that. That's not there. And I go, well, let's open the Bible. I mean, it's in your Bible. And they're like, no, it isn't. And first of all, we couldn't even find a Bible in their house, so we had to get one.
Well,
and then when I show it to them, they get mad. Oh, I don't believe that part. We were never taught that. We don't believe that. And finally, it's just disheartening to do, but I am more of a trusting person, and if someone calls themselves a Christian, why would I dispute that? Why would I argue with them? Of course, if you call yourself a Christian, I'm going to assume you are. But more and more, when you start to examine the fruits, and not because I'm trying to test them and weed them out and, you know, be the gatekeeper, but the more you're like, oh, great, you're a Christian. That's so nice. Hey, have you ever, and you start talking about a Christian subject and they want to argue with you on every single thing or disagree or say they don't believe that or get offended, you start realizing, wait a minute, a lot of these people who just put the label Christian on themselves really aren't, you know, and so you try to, and that's one of the big reasons that we've done the Roman and George for a quote-unquote Christian audience, so that people who've been merely calling themselves Christians can hear the gospel.
Examine themselves.
Yeah. And not because, again, we're not the gatekeepers, we're not the judge, we're not trying to, you know, weed you out and, I caught one, you know, as a spy in our midst. But what more loving thing can we do than to just, you know, it's like, you know, I share the gospel with everybody. My dad told me once.
I say that often too, when I'm talking on whatever, Facebook or whatever, I often say, I'm like, the most, like, this is love, because people will say, oh, you're not being loving and this and that. And then I said, this is love, that I am telling you the truth without, watering it down. And I'm not trying to be mean, just want to tell you the truth straightforward. And that's the way it is. And it's just so frustrating sometimes. And they're like,
no, people get there and then they tell you you're not loving for doing this. My dad says, you're not loving because you're always judging people or questioning their Christianity or whatever. He says, I assume everybody's a Christian and I just love them. And I said, well, that's great. I assume everybody's not a Christian and I just love them. You know, it's just a subtle difference there. Like I wouldn't presume or assume. And because of that, it doesn't mean that I assume you're not a Christian, so I hate you. No, I assume you're not a Christian, so I love you. Love you enough to share it. And those that accept the message, those that hear it and repent or are thrilled by the message of the cross, the message of salvation that God offers, you know, freely to those who would believe in him, great. And those that would reject it, great. You know, it's not my, I don't get to keep score at the end because I didn't affect people either way. And we're quick to say, we can't save somebody. We're not able to convince somebody to repent. But on the flip side, we're not able to stop people. If God is calling that person and saving them, as much as we don't want to take credit for saving them, we shouldn't take blame for them rejecting the message. Don't be so afraid to give the message. You know, I had a pastor at a previous church a big mega church here in Los Angeles, say, well, technically repentance is in the Bible, but we don't like to talk about it because we don't want to scare anybody away. And that has just stuck with me, you know.
People, the false people.
Yeah, so we don't teach what the Bible says because we're afraid it's going to offend somebody. This is a senior pastor at a huge mega church. So, somehow he's got the idea that he is able to affect salvation, that he's so worried about offending people to the point that God can't save them. And I think that's a big problem. I think people really, the reason they're so offended is because they think man is in control. They think man is able to affect a change in someone. And so they end up, instead of looking at the biblical method of evangelism, they look at marketing. They look at CEOs. They look at companies. How does Apple do it? How does Disney do it? What kind of characters can we produce? How can we make Happy Meals, so the kids will like us? I mean, what can we do to sell people on this idea of giving Jesus a try? And rather than try to refute that, and rather than try to defend our position, stand on the Bible. Stand on the biblical example. The first sermons, everybody, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ himself, Paul, first message is repent and believe. Straight out. He wasn't trying to trick people or convince them. And a lot of people walked away.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good example to follow. Don't be afraid to give the true message and trust God that he's able to save people.
I want to remind people that you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and this is Drew Morgan from The Adventures of Roman and George, and you can find out more about that at theadventuresofromanandgeorge.com.
The, the website is just Roman and George,
J-O-R-G-E. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's George is spelled JORGE.com.
Yeah.
You can also go to lastwordsministry.com. Go to the same place. And I also want to say we've produced 3 episodes so far. And every time we get enough donations to produce another one, we make another one. So we've done 3 so far. You can download all 3 of them for free. We never charge for them. We don't mail out a DVD for free, but you can download the file and burn it yourself or just watch it on your computer. All 3 episodes are available. You need to go to the download page, and it'll give you a link there to just click and ask for it. We don't charge. Download all 3, enjoy them, pass them out, and if you feel led to support the ministry, all the information is on that page. And when we get enough to produce episode 4, we'll pull out the cameras and make the next one.
I was thinking about, if you don't mind, getting to your testimony, but I was wondering if you want to, I was thinking about taking a break first, or
Okay. I know I've got till about 3 o'clock here.
Okay.
My family's driving around the block.
Then might as well do it now then.
Yeah, I mean, if we can go till 3 and if you've got enough for the rest of the show, again, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
Testimony is such an interesting one. People always have I was bad, and then I met Jesus, and now I'm good. And it's kind of, I was on drugs, and then I gave Jesus a try, and it worked out. So as long as it's cool, I'm going to stay a Christian. I know that's kind of a format, and a lot of churches teach you, get your testimony, get your tell your story, because no one can argue with that. Come up with a good thing about how you were bad, you needed some help, Jesus fit the right thing that you wanted, you were looking for a job.
Well, my name's not interesting either.
I needed a job, so I gave Jesus a try, and he got me a job, fixed my marriage. So as long as I still keep my job, I really like Jesus. And I tend to more think that it's, it's, instead of my testimony, it's his testimony. I always try to give the gospel to people. But as an example, I grew up in a house that, when I look back at the churches that we went to. It was a very it was called a Unity Church in Hawaii, and I went back there, and they were, as an adult, as a saved adult, I went back, and they were talking about aliens and the Christ consciousness and all these things, and the word Jesus was there and the word Christ. And as a young kid, I didn't understand exactly what they were saying. They would do meditation. It was very universalist. So it's very accepting of everything, any which way you want to interpret it, that's good for you. Let's all just have some coffee, and we'll see you at the beach. And I ended up, just like anybody, you know, you like it when you're a kid. You go along with it. Your parents like it. Good for you. And then when you get to be a teenager and you realize there's stuff out there, you backslide, as they call it. And at no point in time as a young kid going to a universalist church was I ever saved. I didn't even hear the gospel, much less be able to accept it. So I didn't backslide. I was a non-believer the whole time. I liked pleasing my parents, and I liked hanging out and getting the donuts and the coffee or whatever you get as a kid. But at no point did I actually come to a saving faith and understand my sin, much less repent of it. So when the world offers what it does to a teenager, to a young 20-something, I took it. And as it got farther and farther away from a biblical message, and I couldn't bend the Bible to fit my own lustful desires, I rejected it completely. I became a pretty staunch atheist. I was way too smart for all that. You couldn't prove any of it to me. Anything that refuted it, I just happily threw into my pile of tricks. You want to tell me about evolution? Great, love it. Don't believe in God? I'm all for it. I didn't really need proof of evolution. I just thought it was great because it just gave me one more excuse to not have to believe. I spent some time with my father, who had left when I was young, and he became a Bible freak or a Jesus freak or charismatic or whatever annoying thing that a 21-year-old has to hear about Jesus, and just bugged me and bugged me and bugged me, and I finally relented and said, all right, I'll read the Bible. And at least I think that got me down the path, and I came to kind of an intellectual assent. I believed the Bible because it was consistent and made sense. And what I found was now, not only could I live in sin, but I could live in sin with a actual handle of what the scripture said. Now, not only was I an atheist who could wield myself around, I was a guy who knew the Bible who could wield my sin around and come up with every verse and excuse to justify my unrepentant behavior. You know, I could live with my girlfriend, but it was okay because I loved her and God was all about love. You know, so I could justify everything. I didn't change my life one bit, but now I could just throw Bible verses at you to show you why I was still smarter than you. At least that got me going to church. And the sad state of it was, I went to church for almost 10 years as what I thought was a believer and didn't hear the gospel again. You know, I kept hearing all these messages that affirmed me, told me how great it was, you know, you could meet everybody, you could be nice, you could have a community, do good things, and at no point was I confronted with the real God of the Bible and what he thought of sin and what he demanded of me and what he thought of people who sat in the pews and lived the same life that they had lived before they called themselves a believer. And it took me a long time to piece all of that together, reading the Bible and hearing enough sermons. And one day I heard Kirk Cameron, who was a guest at Cornerstone Church in Simi Valley, Francis Chan's church, and just watching him on TV enough to say, all right, you know, I don't mind watching Christian TV, you know, real Christian TV, not like TBN. And I'm a little skeptical. I'm like, all right, Kirk Cameron, actor, what's this guy going to, you know, what weirdness has he picked up and is he going to call Christianity? And in 20 minutes, he laid out the who the God of the Bible was and who man is and what man does and what we deserve for our willful rebellion of a holy God and what God, you know, says that we deserve. But what he's done in for us so we don't have to get what we deserve. That he's, you know, his son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, came to earth, lived a sinless life, got crucified on my behalf, and rose from the dead, defeating death, defeating sin. And that if I would repent, if I would truly repent, not just have the Jesus sticker on my car, and put my trust in him, that I'd be born again. And it's a work that he fully does and did. And at that point, I wouldn't say that I was born again just by listening to Kirk Cameron, but a big aha moment came for me that took 10 years to hear a 20-minute sermon. And I'm just sorry that 10 years earlier, no one thought enough to actually give me the full gospel, that I had to get it in bits and pieces. Nothing that Kirk Cameron said I had not heard before, but at that moment it just stuck out for me and was so glaringly obvious that I'd realized, okay, I wasn't a Christian before, but it took me a long time to come to the place where not just intellectually assenting to believe what the Bible says, but putting my trust in it and living for it and showing God by my fruits that I actually did believe it. And from that day on, I got a calling to be an evangelist in any which way I could, and I'm thankful for all the tools that Living Waters produced and continues to produce, and through meeting everybody and getting part of the evangelism community, I'm thankful that I get to be a small part of doing it. First of all, to honor God, and second, if I'm able to help anybody. Encourage anybody. I mean, praise God. He decided to do that. And if he wants to use me, I'm eternally grateful.
I saw Ray and Kirk on TV, and that's how the light went on for me. Everything like clicked and things kind of, like I knew I was false. Like I had thought I was Christian and I knew I was self-righteous and like you said, I don't think anyone ever, well, at least that maybe early in my life, I'm not sure. I just don't feel like anyone ever said anything, the full thing, like you said, like just like all of a sudden, like it put, like everything put together, like it
just
made sense.
It's just so simple and clear. And again, we're spiritually blinded. It isn't the fault of all the pastors, too. It's, you know, I was blinded because of my sin and because of my desire.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't place the blame anywhere but on myself. But why waste all that time if we don't have to? What, you know, you can mix and add things to the gospel as many churches do. You can take things away as many churches do. You can sell a lot of books. But so many people I've met have said, you know what, I spent half my life thinking I was saved. And until someone just shared the gospel with me, I realized, you know what, I'm not. I need to repent. I need to trust Christ. And, you know what, I asked, you know, a pastor at my old church, would you rather have a church full of believers, but only a few people show up? Or would you rather have a church full of non-believers, but the place is packed? And he said, we'd rather have non-believers here. We'd rather have it packed. We want everybody to come and feel comfortable here. And I just, you know, we can go back and forth on what's right and what's wrong, and I just think that's a different philosophy than I have. But then again, I haven't sold a million books, and I don't have a big mega church, so who would listen to me? But
before you go, I wanted you to mention Window Dude.
Oh, hey, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've done a lot of things in my life, company-wise, and the most recent one, I've started a company called WindowDude.com, just a simple, honest, hardworking window washer. God's given me the ability to feed my four kids and pay the bills by washing windows, and I've actually hired four people, so I'm able to give other people jobs, and we're growing every day, so it's just a great, humbling experience to go from some of the more glamorous jobs that I've had to putting on work boots and dirty clothes and cleaning gutters off of people's roofs and and cleaning windows and power washing. But it's been a blessing that I've been able to do that. And if we're here in
I'll
Los Angeles.
I was just going to say, how have you also done, like, insurance before? Because I've seen
I've done a lot of things where I wear a suit and a tie and high finance and all these, you know, more, like I said, more glamorous things. Telling people you're a stockbroker carries a lot more cachet than saying you wash windows. But in another sense, saying you're a window washer is you know, it's good, honest work. There's no explanation needed. There's no, like, what if the market or what about the government or what about all this? You know, it's just simply I need my windows cleaned. At the end of the day, they're clean. You know, the work's done. You're not worried about the market crashing. And, you know, I'm just pleased every day that I get to come home and have enough to feed my family. And I'm just thankful to God for it was another Christian brother that taught me the business 6 months ago, and we've been doing well ever since. So I appreciate you asking me to share that, and certainly windowdude.com is a great way to. I appreciate that.
Well, this Drew Morgan's been my guest for the past about hour, and he is doing a show called The Adventures of Roman and George, and he plays George. And if you want to find out about that, go to, is it romanandgeorge.com?
Yeah, and again, George is George.com.
Yeah, I got to remind people that, it's spelled different.
You got to watch the show to get why we spell it that way.
Yeah, and also you could see him, it says windowdude.com.
Yeah, and
Facebook.
Grab me on DRU. Morgan, I'm on Facebook. If you're part of this community or want to be, add me as a friend.
Yes. So thank you for talking with us. So I've enjoyed it, and I hope others have. And they'll be able to download it too. After you could download it on iTunes, and also where we broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, Drew, for talking with us, and I like talking with. I remember. Greg, he talked to me first, and then he told me to get you on, so I'm glad he said that.
Yeah,
and
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, and well, we'll let you go.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Drew.
I'll download the second half.
Emily. Yeah, I have stuff. I have some music and things.
Cool. All right. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, that was Drew Morgan, and he was with us the first hour. So if you want to hear the whole thing, download after the show is over on blogtalkradio.com. And also, on, like I said, iTunes, it's for free. If you want to download or share it with other people, or just if you want to post on the internet. Just, like, of course, don't edit it to make it something that's not, as long as you don't do that. I'm fine with you posting it wherever, even if it's, like, on YouTube or whatever. Same thing with my other shows. Just leave it in the context that it is. I don't mean, like, you could edit it to, like, make it shorter if you want, but other than that. Well, thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to take a break since, we're done with the interview, and then I'll get some other things ready for you. Like I said, I do have some songs to play, and I think I'll play that for the second hour. I had thought we were going to do full 2 hours, but it doesn't seem that way, but still it was very good for what it was. And we'll take a break, like I said. It's a Truth Be Told Radio broadcasting via blogtalkradio.com.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. How often do you have your car serviced? Well, if you want to keep it running as it should and avoid expensive repairs, you'll have preventive maintenance performed on it every 3,000 miles or so. And the same is true when it comes to your spiritual life. Preventive spiritual maintenance is vital when it comes to being prepared for unexpected trials and hardships so that you can respond in a godly manner.
as the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform. And the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform. This is what he said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be a portrait of God's grace. Respond to his test with a prayerful and grateful heart.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
I grew up wanting to be thin, beautiful, and perfect. The stunning reality is I am none of those.
Unfortunately, it's a culture of beauty and being perfect that creates such confusion for us women. It's not God's idea of beauty, not even close. Meet Rebecca. In Genesis 24:16, she's described as very beautiful to behold. Yet the servant of Abraham, who was sent to find a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, was attracted to something else in Rebecca. He wasn't looking for a model. He was looking for a model servant. And he found that in this woman, who was even more beautiful on the inside than she was on the outside. Do what you can to enhance the beauty God's given you, but make it your priority to attend to your heart, to your faith, and to your character. That's what finds favor with God. This is Elizabeth George.
I hope you're having a wonderful day with family and friends, but most of all that you are grateful in your heart for the birth of Christ, and that sometime during the day you will take the time to worship him. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Matthew's account of the birth of Christ, he highlights the visit of the wise men from the east, who came bearing gifts for the purpose of worshiping the child who had been born King of the Jews. In Matthew 2:11, we read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The wise men were magi from Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, so it's really rather striking that they would worship a Jewish child and bow before him as though he were God. But that's exactly what they did. The verse we read said, "They fell down and worshipped him." The word worship here is a word that means to prostrate oneself in homage. Literally, it means to kiss like a dog licking a master's hand. It's a strong word of devotion and respectful reverence. Now, they did this by literally falling down. I hope you're having a wonderful day with family and friends, but most of all that you are grateful in your heart for the birth of Christ, and that sometime during the day you will take the time to worship him. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Matthew's account of the birth of Christ, he highlights the visit of the wise men from the east, who came bearing gifts for the purpose of worshiping the child who had been born King of the Jews. In Matthew 2:11, we read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The wise men were magi from Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, so it's really rather striking that they would worship a Jewish child and bow before him as though he were God. But that's exactly what they did. The verse we read said, "They fell down and worshipped him." The word worship here is a word that means to prostrate oneself in homage. Literally, it means to kiss like a dog licking a master's hand. It's a strong word of devotion and respectful reverence. Now, they did this by literally falling down.
I've tried that twice and it didn't work. I just, sorry about that. It was the word for the word. Like you look it up yourself on wordfortheword.com. It's about worship. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see. I thought it was a mistake that I did, but, well, it is sort of, I guess. But I thought it was because it just stopped playing. But, oh, we're going to play, then move on. I'm going to play you a song. This is a song called "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And this version is sung by Go Fish. It's a group, check them out, gofishguys.com, gofishguys, G-U-I-S.com. And Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
Arthur, join me for today's Portraits of Grace. How often do you have your car serviced? Well, if you want to keep it running as it should and avoid expensive repairs, you'll have preventive maintenance performed on it every 3,000 miles or so. And the same is true when it comes to your spiritual life. Preventive spiritual maintenance is vital when it comes to being prepared for unexpected trials and hardships so that you can respond in a godly manner. As the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform, And the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform. This is what he said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be a portrait of God's grace. Respond to his test with a prayerful and grateful heart.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Do you dig the doctrines of grace? Do five-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out WretchedHarmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellows and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, WretchedHarmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day.
Thank you.
that was the baby that would have been mine, and that is by Kari Kulajitala, spelled K-A-R-I, and Kulaj is C-O-O-L-I-D-G-E, and Atala is A-T-A-L-L-A, and she's been on our show before, and before that we played her author song called My One and Only Aim. Earlier last hour, we had an interview with Drew Morgan, spelled D-R-U, Drew Morgan, and find him on Facebook. Also, the Adventures of Roman and George. Look for romanandgeorge.com. That's George, spelled J-O-R-G-E. And like Drew said, you have to find out why it's called spelled that way. And then also, check out their ministry page, also Last Word, Last Words Ministry, and also that's lastwordsministry.com. Then also he has a business called Window Dude, and that's windowdude.com, and it's basically just professional window washing, so check that out too. And we will continue with the music, and also I'm gonna play a clip from Living Waters University a little bit later, and let's see what I'm gonna play. This one is another one by I'll play one from Go Fish, and like the song, it's called it's about the cross. And that's what it is all about, the forgiveness for sins from Jesus, the God-man.
It's not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angel who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherd or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. About the present underneath
It's About the Cross. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We are airing via Wildcat Radio. And then also we are archived also after the show is done on iTunes. And that's for free. Check us out. You can get the link at blogtalkradio.com/Truth Be Told Radio. And our main site is truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. In case anybody's listening that's maybe Christian or just has a website business out there, I'm looking to, as current as this airs, I am looking for someone to redesign the site, either for free to get credit or really low cost. Because I don't have a lot of money. So if you can, please contact me. You could send an email to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. Or contact me through Blog Talk Radio. Or on my Facebook page, Melissa A. Canchola, C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A. That's, once again, C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A, Melissa A. Canchola on Facebook. I want to make my our website more presentable and easy to navigate. So if you could, anybody out there does that kind of stuff, please contact me at Truth Be Told Radio Show. At gmail.com, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, or see our info at our current page at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. Next, we are going to play, going to take a break, actually. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. How often do you have your car serviced? Well, if you want to keep it running as it should and avoid expensive repairs, you'll have preventive maintenance performed on it every 3,000 miles or so. And the same is true when it comes to your spiritual life. Preventive spiritual maintenance is vital when it comes to being prepared for unexpected trials and hardships so that you can respond in a godly manner. As the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform,
And the Apostle Paul supplies the key service to perform. This is what he said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be a portrait of God's grace. Respond to his test with a prayerful and grateful heart.
On this New Year's Eve, let's resolve not to waste the time God's given us. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. James 4:14 calls life a vapor, a breath. So live life to the max, full tilt. Love your family as much as you can. Help as many people as you can. Give as much as you can. Let the awareness of the brevity of life be a driving force. And how do we do this? One day at a time. Living Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A blessed new year to you. This is Elizabeth George.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Apostle Paul had a deep concern for the lost. He had a love for the unsaved that drove him to his knees and then to stand up and witness for his faith. He even did so in prison. Can you imagine the boldness that you'd need to have to witness to Roman guards, to men who were hardened to cruelty? Yet Paul begged, "Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Instead of the attitude, "Oh no, here I am chained to two guards," his was, "Thank you, Lord, I have two guards chained to me." We aren't in chains, so we must take advantage of the freedom that we have to share our faith.
And there goes another minute, gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
To be anointed of God means to be set apart for His service. But it also means that the one who is anointed belongs to God. They are uniquely His and under His special care. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. There were three special elements used in the worship of God during Old Testament times. The major structural element was gold. Everything was made out of pure gold. Then there were two functional elements. First, there was the sweet incense, and that was made out of frankincense. And second, there was the holy anointing oil, and the base of that oil was myrrh. Now that's why the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they came to worship Jesus, they brought the elements of Jewish worship.
In Matthew 2:11 we read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." In Exodus 30, verses 22 to 33, we learn that the holy anointing oil was a special composition created by the art of the perfumer, and the major ingredient was myrrh, an expensive oil-based aromatic fragrance. Now, in the Old Testament worship of the tabernacle, everything was anointed with the holy anointing oil of myrrh. The tabernacle building was anointed, all the furnishings and vessels of the tabernacle were anointed, and the priests themselves were anointed. Everything was sanctified with the oil of myrrh set apart unto God. This meant that everything belonged to God. They were His possession, and they enjoyed His blessing and favor. Now, did you know that all believers in Christ are also anointed of God? That means we belong to Him and enjoy the blessing of His favor. We are His myrrh. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, if we belong to God, that means we don't belong to ourselves, right? Think about it.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden.
Do you dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out wretchedharmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellows and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, wretchedharmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
My kind and gracious listeners, let me start by saying that those of you who know more will get the point I'm making. But if I'm stepping on your toes, perhaps you should consider that your quarrel's not with me, but rather what's in Scripture. God alone.
that was You Might Be a Heretic, and that the song is by Carrie Coolidge Atala. We had her on our show before, and thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Early we had first hour, Drew Morgan. He's from The Adventures of Roman and George. It's a TV show they produce, and that's him and Greg Alsasser. Greg Alsasser. That's those two. They helped make that show, and you could look on Roman and George, spelled J-O-R-G-E, RomanandGeorge.com, and find out more about that and about that show. And thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And next, I'll play another song from Carrie. This one's called A Theme for Newlyweds on Truth Be Told Radio. That was a song for Newlyweds, that's instrumental music from Carrie Coolidge Atala. And let's see what I'm going to have next. Trying to play from Living Waters University. It's a YouTube page where they teach you about how to evangelize or just and also they share evangelism. They do it by sharing evangelism encounters. And let's see if I got that up yet. You're saying Truth Be Told Radio. Remember, you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And let's see if I got that up yet. Doesn't look like it's up yet. Well, we'll take a break. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Truth Be Told Radio is a radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. Truth Be Told Radio features street preaching, witnessing, special guests, apologetics, sermons, Bible trivia, interesting tidbits, contests, plus more. Truth Be Told Radio uses a unique and interactive forum with its own live chat room where you can chat live with the hosts, guests, and other listeners of the show. Listeners can also call in to talk to the hosts or listen live to the broadcast via phone. Truth Be Told Radio airs on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Truth Be Told Radio is seeking Christian businesses and Christian ministries who produce Christian books and merchandise. We are seeking to make live on-air product and book reviews. It can be anything from a book to a game with a Christian or biblical theme. If you're interested in having your book or product reviewed on our show, please email us via our website at truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and I am trying to play now. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I got my file up that I was waiting for. This is Living Waters University. You can check out more with them on YouTube. That's their YouTube channel. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. This is one with Jamie.
The Bible says, "They will know that we're Christians by our love." Well, no doubt we should always be speaking to people in love, even when we're speaking about hard things like the coming day of judgment and death and heaven and hell. Well, how do you speak in love towards somebody who they look a little different? Now, this lady here has tattoos all over her arms, and it's easy to assume that she's going to be difficult to talk to, maybe kind of hard-hearted. But the truth is, this girl's name is Jamie, and as Ray talks with her, it turns out she's a very sweet girl who thinks about spiritual things, and then she agrees that if God is good, there must be a hell. This is actually a wonderful interview that made me stand up and cheer at the end.
Hey, Jamie, do you think you can sing?
No.
Are you a bad singer?
Yes.
You know those programs where people sing in front of a panel and the panel says, that's horrible? Do you think they're kind or cruel?
Cruel.
Do you think they're cruel? They shouldn't tell someone they can't sing? Isn't it good to tell someone the truth?
Yes.
You know, you're doing them a favor in the long run.
You could be.
Now, tell me, what do you believe about the afterlife?
I believe there is one.
Is there a heaven?
I think so.
How do you get there?
I don't know.
Shouldn't you find out?
Yes.
I mean, it's the big question. The biggest thing that's going to happen to you in this life is your death, isn't it?
Yes.
Nothing bigger than that. I mean, that's a big deal. So you got to find out how to get to heaven because you don't want to end up in hell.
I agree.
Do you think hell exists?
I would like to think not. No.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you think God should punish a murderer or just forget about it?
They should punish him.
How would God punish a murderer?
A good question. Reliving it, I guess.
You mean
constantly?
He feels guilty?
Yeah, I think your own personal guilt.
So how would Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, feel? Pretty bad.
Awful.
So that's his punishment. He killed 6 million Jews and gypsies and blacks, and he feels awful.
No, I'd hope something else happens to him, definitely.
So hell makes sense for a guy like Hitler.
Yeah.
What about Jeffrey Dahmer? He killed and ate 17 or 18 young men. Do you think God should be happier with him, or should he go to hell too?
No, I think he should go to hell.
So hell makes sense if God is good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you think you're a good person, Jamie?
I try to be the best I can, yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
You ever stolen anything?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A stealer.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's blasphemy, using God's name as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that?
Of course.
So, Jamie, you're not a good person. You're like the rest of us. You're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So, if God judges you by the Ten Commandments, we've looked at four of them, do you think on Judgment Day you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
It has to be hell.
Does that concern you?
Most definitely.
Because now you know where you're going.
Yes.
So what are you going to do about it?
Change.
How do you mean change?
Every day work on being the best person I can be and not break those Ten Commandments.
Okay, now, transfer that over to civil law. Criminal standing in front of a judge, he's raped a woman and murdered her. And the judge says, anything to say before I pass sentence? And the criminal says, yep, judge, I'm going to be a good person from now on. I'm not going to rape or murder anyone else. Is the judge going to say, oh, okay then, goodbye? He's not, is he?
No.
His cleaning up his life has got nothing to do with the crime he's already committed. And there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. You can't justify yourself or by your own means escape the damnation of hell. Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
Died.
Died on the cross?
Uh-huh, yes.
Now, do you realize that was a legal transaction that took place?
No.
Let me put it this way and see what you think. God is a perfect judge. In his eyes, you're a criminal because you've violated his law, the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid your fine 2,000 years ago. That means God can legally dismiss your case. You can walk out of the courtroom because Jesus paid your fine. God can commute your death sentence. He can let you live because of what Christ did on the cross and because he rose again on the third day. What you've got to do, Jamie, is repent and trust in Jesus. You know how you trusted in your own goodness to Savior on Judgment Day? Transfer that trust from yourself to the Savior. Okay, the minute you do that, God will remit your sins. That means he'll forgive every sin you've ever committed and grant you the gift of everlasting life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you die today, you go to hell. I just told you there are two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
To trust in God.
You got to repent and trust in Jesus.
I agree.
When are you going to do that?
I've been working on that actually lately a lot.
When are you going to do it? You have to do just a point of time. Just say, okay, I'm going to stop trusting myself and trust
now.
In Jesus.
But
you mean that?
Yeah.
Can we pray after we turn the camera off?
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie, thank you for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Check out more about Living Waters at livingwaters.com. And you can check out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And the show's almost over, so I want to thank again Drew Morgan for joining us the first hour, and thank you all for listening. If you want to hear the archive of the show and any other show, including with the Carrie Coolidge child music we played earlier from her, check us out here on blogtalkradio.com with Truth Be Told Radio. And also, the archive of our show is on iTunes after the show airs. With every show, it gets archived, and it's for free. Download it, share it if you want, and also you'll put it on website or YouTube, whatever you want to do. Just keep the what it's supposed to be. Like, if you edit it, only make it, like, maybe shorter, not, like, change anything, of course. That's all we ask. And also, if you can, give us the credit and give us truthbetoldradio.com. And thanks for listening again, and hope you'll join us next week. And we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio also for even having this, because, and thank you to God, because I wouldn't be able to do this show without that, because we have to have, like, otherwise expensive equipment, and they make it easy for us, so I want to thank them in case people don't do that enough. And thank you to God, like I said, for even helping me today and all my shows and having great guests, and I appreciate it so much. And God help us glorify you. And if you haven't put your trust in Jesus today, turn from your sins, put your trust in God alone, the one who died for your sins, and he will make you a new person. And find out more about that at needgod.com, needgod.com. Well, bye for now.